Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Swinak again, right side, lowers the shoulder, and the Nittany Lions answer. Touchdown, Penn State.
Back to pass, Kemberling. He hits a completed pass to Dunn. Dunn on the post pattern. He's gone. Touchdown, Shikellamy. 37 yards, and Dunn finishes the drive.
Hackenberg back, steps up, delivers deep down the middle, Robinson, 30-yard line, 25, Robinson down to 23. It started with blitz pickup by Zach Swinak again.
Back to pass, wrap, pressure's coming, he's going to throw it down the middle, picked off by Turber. Turber to the 20, to the 15, gets a block to the 10, touchdown, Shikellamy!
Hackenberg turns. Swinak, left side, walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions get the touchdown they needed to cut the UCF lead in half.
43.2 to go. Third down and 8 from the Sealands Grove 38-yard line. Braves up a touchdown. Here comes the handoff. Holding the ball tightly, it's Turber, he's got the first down, ball
game.
Hackenberg gets the snap, back to pass. Fade far corner for Robinson, reaches up. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
Just a little taste of the last about 72 hours, Bob Buehner of WKOK.
And I think the happiest guy in the Shikellamy Stadium Friday night, besides the coaches and the players from Shikellamy, was none other than Kevin Herr.
No, I doubt that. There were a lot of happy Shikellamy faithful after the big win Friday night against Sealands Grove, and a great ball game to watch. I mean, very entertaining game.
Very tense game, it sounded like, too.
Much so, very much so.
A lot of, like, people holding their breath throughout that third and fourth quarters.
I thought the defense is, it was funny, when we were doing Seals warm-up, or Seals game day, rather, on Eagle 107, where they carry the Seals all year long. One of the things I said, I really honestly believe the first defense to actually control the game or to step up wins. And both defenses actually stepped up in the ball game, and ironically enough, it was really a defensive score, a defensive touchdown that actually was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, I think that the Shikellamy defense certainly, how should we say, came of age Friday night. You know, they had a difficult time in a sense against Mount Carmel, gave up 20 points there. I think it was Mifflinburg. What was it?
It was 28, I think, in that one.
Yeah, 28 in that one. So you're thinking going in. You know, the Seals are typically an offensive-minded team. They know how to put up points. Sometimes they can do it in a hurry, or they can do it consistently. Well, and they got one touchdown in, 48 minutes of high school football, so kudos to the Schick defense.
And Sealands Grove had, I think it was minus one on the turnover ratio, but they've turned the ball over quite a bit, three turnovers
standard,
in that game.
And the standard is that you had to wait 20 minutes at the concession stand as to how big the crowd was?
Were you listening?
That's the standard by which you judge?
I don't think I exactly said it that way, but I said it did take 20 minutes to get through the concession stand.
You know,
that's a pretty big crowd then.
20 minutes to get through the concession stand?
You know,
that's your standard for crowd control?
I think it's wonderful that you were listening Friday night. Warms my heart.
Standard?
Warms my heart.
You know, sometimes different organizations do it differently. District of Columbia Police in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
they take
they use a helicopter.
A helicopter, and then they take crowd photos, and they look at density. Kevin just goes to the concession stand, gets his stopwatch.
Yeah. I mean, some people use turnstile. Some people use helicopter estimates. You use Holushki.
Listen, this is the first game I have done without water. I did the entire game without water. That's a first for me.
Well, fine. That means you joined the Russian broadcast team, which also does the game without water. But
different
but then
kind
again,
of water.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I laugh. You know, Putin wrote that thing about, you know, it's tough to have people think that they're exceptional. This is from the leader of a country whose two specialties are winter and being bombed. All right. Time now for Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track four-door, $24,352, and a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a six-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
So, if I wait 20 minutes at the concession stand at Beaver Stadium, I should figure out that's a pretty good size crowd.
You're obsessed with the concession stand, aren't you?
It's just one way to measure crowds.
I mean, for you to sit there and, I mean, that's your standard.
That is the longest any I have heard of anybody having to wait for the concession stand at Chicoutimi Stadium. I think that might be a new Chicoutimi record for Chicoutimi Stadium.
It's one of two things. Either there's a huge crowd because it's a great rivalry game, or they were giving away pierogies and halushki.
I don't think so. I think the junior class stand was they were paying for everything the junior class stand was handing out.
What, was it
well,
a big
I'm
crowd?
Sure they. I'm sure they were, but was it potentially incompetence at the stand of being slow?
No, they were working. Let me tell you, they were working.
I know they were working. I understand that, but. Like, I mean, your order, which I understand based on sources, was rather extensive.
Two waters and a diet soda. That's what it amounted to be.
But he paid for it in pennies, and it took a little while to count.
Well, it might have had something to do with it, yeah.
That is sad. That is really sad. Next half hour, by the way, Audrey Snyder, Harrisburg Patriot News. We're going to talk about the atmosphere at Beaver Stadium. So a series of articles that she's doing this week that starts tomorrow in the Patriot News. We'll be talking and hearing from her next half hour. She did a lot of extensive parking lot research, literally. literally, to find out, you know, I mean, what's the best way to find out how you feel about concessions, the STEP program, atmosphere in the stadium and things like that? You have to physically go out there and get your hands dirty and talk to people. You have to ask them straight out. She's done that. I mean, I've talked about this many, many times. In order to get a real feel for what goes on, you can't sit there in the tower and make observations all the time. You got to get your hands dirty and go out and find out. It's like standing in the concession stand for 20 minutes waiting to let you know how big the crowd is. Now, part of this, too, is obviously there were a lot of autograph hounds for Kevin. I understand that. That does delay you.
That's going to happen. Speaking of crowds, how about that Seahawks crowd last night for the 49ers game?
Stadium's built like that. The stadium is built in such a way that keeps the noise in. And that's one thing that you'll notice, for example, the noise at Beaver Stadium is pretty extensive now. Ever since they built that building on the south end of it. Now, when you put the two decks on each side, press box then, and then you put the luxury suites, it confines the noise. Michigan is finding this now because Michigan has gone through an extensive remodeling of Michigan Stadium. where you have the luxury suites on each side, press box, and now you have buildings. Because before, it was spread out in such a way. Michigan Stadium was not a loud stadium to be in. You're like, really, 110,000, it has to be loud. No, I'd never have had an issue with noise broadcasting in that stadium. Never have.
It seemed like...
Now it's a little different proposition because of how it's built. The additions have keep the noise in much, much more so than it used to.
It seemed like on Saturday's game, if you're in the press box, you could the noise, crowd noise, must have been really something to broadcast over top of.
Let me make 3 points here, all right? And Bob, I'll pick up on that what you're talking about. Let me make 3 points here. A wise old football sage that I knew for a long time said to me several things along the way that stuck with me, of which I will touch on three of them right now. Okay, now, before we get to that, number one, the crowd, student or rest of stadium, was incredible on Saturday. I mean, a great partnership and bonding is formed between the Beaver Stadium crowd and this football team. And they were into every play, every moment. They were highly entertained by what they saw, but at the same time, they were into it trying to affect change. Number two, for those who think that the officials goofed at the end of the game and ripped off Penn State on the pass to J.J. Wharton, and they started the clock, and he went out of bounds, right? First down went out of bounds. When they set the change, they started the clock. There were people who were very upset and felt that Penn State was getting ripped off. They were not. The officials officiated the game exactly right. You only do that in college football where the clock stops on an out-of-bounds play like that with less than 2 minutes to go in the half, first half, second half. That catch occurred at 2:42. So when he went out of bounds with 2:42, they reset the chains and then started the clock. The officials did do the right thing.
And see, I missed that too watching it because I thought the same thing that the commentators were talking about, as well as Coach O'Brien, that the clock needed to stop, and I had forgotten it was 2:40. I was thinking it was under 2 minutes at that point.
Yeah. It's 2:42, and it's only under 2 minutes each half. This wise old football sage told me, he says, look, you're never as bad as you think you are when you win, or when you lose, you're never as good as think you are when you win. There are times you look at that tape when you win and you go, boy, kind of got away with one there. But we're good here, here, and here, and here, but we kind of get away with a couple here. Okay. When you lose, you look at the tape, boy, geez, just missed there. If we just got this one here, just got this one here, boy, could swing it. So you're never as good as you think you are when you win. You're never as bad as you think you are when you lose. This wise old sage also told me along the way, and he pulled me aside about 30 years ago when I started doing talk radio and I had just started on the football network. And he said to me, Steve, he says, sometimes when we, meaning Penn State, when it doesn't seem like we're doing well, sometimes it's because the other guy's doing a lot of things right. Central Florida did a lot of things right on Saturday, starting with their quarterback, Blake Bortles, and experienced wideouts and Godfrey, Perriman, Wharton, obviously, Johnson, they did a lot of things right. Good offensive line play. They did a lot of things right. Yet they still ended up hanging on to win 34-31. The next thing he told me deals with this. Remember this. Jordan Lucas is starting his third game. Didn't play a lot last year. Trevor Williams was a wideout last year, so he's starting his third game at corner. Okay? Now, Amos has played, Willis has played, Kaiser's played some, all right, some. Naeem Wortman is playing his third game ever at outside linebacker. Stevie Ombang is playing his second game ever at outside linebacker. He's played other spots, but it's a totally different spot. His third game overall and his second start at outside linebacker. Mike Hall's trying to come back from an injury. He's played, in a dozen plays this year before Saturday. Carson's played a lot of football. That's obvious. Daquan Jones has played a lot of football. Deion Barnes has. Zettel has as well. But Boblitz, it's his third ever start. Played some. Austin Johnson, third ever game. C.J. Alanian, third ever start. Now you go on offense. Quarterback Hackenberg, third ever start. Okay. Okay. Geno Lewis, third ever game. Richie Anderson, third ever game. Adam Brenneman, third ever game. Akeel Lynch, second ever game. Okay. Gary Gilliam, third ever start at third ever game at tackle. Ty Howell, third ever game at center. The other guys were experienced. So that goes to the third thing this wise old football sage told me. Youth is a disease, but it's curable. They stay healthy. These young guys that are out there cutting their teeth right now are going to be a pretty good football team here down the road. So I wouldn't panic just yet over one game against a very good team, in which that very good team had to hold on and win by three.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They have longtime customers. There's a reason why they have longtime customers. Why don't you become one as well? They take great care of you and your family. One quick note before I get to Audrey Snyder here. Buhner, by the way, in the house. Buhner.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you with us. Kevin's in the house, just back from the Holeski line.
I finally got back. It took me all weekend, but it was worth it.
Big crowd.
Yeah, well, yeah, after that Holeski, big Kevin. All right, so.
It was worth it.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh tonight. Right now the Steelers are just a mere half game out of first place.
Impressive.
I mean, you could take any number and you could make it into anything. Mike Krzyzewski and I are on the same page when it comes to this particular issue. And I've talked about this before. That if you transfer, you need to sit out. Even if you have your degree or you have a hardship. He says there's no rhyme or reason right now to the transfer rules. Russell Wilson took great advantage of it, went from NC State right away and started playing with Wisconsin. It worked out great for him. And he's not the only one. And Penn State will be the beneficiary of it this year. Allen Roberts is going to play right away. He graduated from Miami of Ohio after Jermaine Marshall graduated, and he's going to Arizona State. He's going to play right away. But there's no rhyme or reason as to what they do. Michael Dixon left Missouri, accused of sexual assault. But he got to play with Memphis right away. Okay, great. What they did with the Penn State players last year, you can transfer without sitting out a year. Disgrace. I'm sorry. You need to sit out a year. Even if you have your degree, you still should sit out a year. Silence from Kevin.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. The only thing I would question is why would you say if you've already gotten your degree? Is there a special reason for that?
Yes, because competitively you should not be a free agent in college.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I agree with it from a competitive standpoint. I think it is free agency in essence.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And joined by Audrey Snyder. Now let's get Audrey in here. Audrey, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, man.
Good. Who's right, him or me?
I got to go with Steve on this one.
Of course you
do. I mean, not because of that, but also, I mean, you know, you look at it, and the NCAA has quickly turned into the Wild West. And the player transfer rules, I mean, try and get some structure in a system that's already as chaotic as it is. However, I do like, you know, the fact that guys are getting their degrees.
So do I.
That's obviously what they're here for. But, you know, we need a little order to this madness that is the NCAA.
No, I agree with that. There definitely needs to be order. I'm happy Jermaine Marshall can play this year at Arizona State. He got his degree in August. I'm happy about that. And for Penn State fans, I think they're going to be thrilled with Allen Roberts. they both should have sat out. Okay. Okay. Even though Jermaine actually already sat out a year at the beginning of his career, but they both should have sat out before being allowed to play.
I think the one thing where if you would institute the sit out, they won't transfer, but they'll just leave and go pro. So
that's fine. Leave and go pro. I mean, when I look at Johnson, for example.
But for a lot of people, they don't have the opportunity to play pro.
Yeah, but look at Johnson. All right? He played an exhibition game with IUP last year at Pitt. He can't play till December 22nd. Really? 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 Okay? They are very good at creating a mess. All right. Audrey, you're doing what, a series of articles looking at the ticket program at Penn State, correct?
Yes, looking at tickets, attendance, concession prices, kind of the overall cost of attending a game at Penn State as far as the game day experience and whether or not that's changed in the last few years.
Is this going to be done solely with Penn State, or are you going to, or will it be done in conjunction as to how others in the Big Ten also conduct their business?
In conjunction with others in the Big Ten. I mean, if you look across college football, there's a national trend here that stadiums, majority of them, are really struggling to try and fill and to reach capacity. And you see many stadiums that are adding more seats. The Horseshoe's done it. Nebraska did it. And those programs, they're adding more seats, but they're still being able to fill. However, you look at Penn State, obviously, you know, approximately 10,000 empty seats, give or take. And also Virginia Tech, I think, is the one that's kind of surprising people. Obviously, Tech seats a heck of a lot less than Penn State. They're in around the 60s, mid-60s. But for the first time this year, you know, they're not experiencing a sellout.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what are the factors that are keeping people away from these games, and whether it's HDTV, you know, prices, season ticket plans, including seat donations, whole lot of factors that I'm trying to explore this week.
What about market size? I mean, you mentioned, for example, Columbus, which is the largest city in the state of Ohio to begin with, population-wise, and Lincoln, which is over 200,000 just within the city limits there. Does that enter into what you're looking at as well in terms of population base and surrounding area, travel time, and so forth?
Right. I think that's definitely a huge factor that gets overlooked a lot. I was speaking with a representative from Virginia Tech this morning, and, you know, obviously getting to Blacksburg isn't the easiest thing to do, and
yes.
People know getting to Happy Valley isn't the easiest either.
Right.
And so I think there definitely you can make some links there as far as, you know, the difficulty getting to some of these venues, and that, of course, then reflects in the numbers.
Were you able to get into the parking lot at all last week before, talk with some fans? And if so, what kind of read are they giving you?
I was. Actually, this past week, I've kind of had my first chance to at least spend a couple hours in the parking lot. And, you know, the fans seem to be very disgruntled, particularly about the STEP program. I don't know if they're ever going to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they won't. But as far as season tickets go, I mean, this STEP, if you look at the goal, it was to generate revenue for the athletic program, and it's done that. If you're looking strictly at a, you know, financial basis, it's done that. You look in Beaver Stadium, and you see the patches of empty seats, and you see STEP working there as well. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword that Penn State's trying to deal with, but you know, fans want the stadium full. Everybody wants that experience. I mean, from up in the press box Saturday night for the Central Florida game, I mean, it was a very good atmosphere. You know, the student whiteout, the reported number was around 92,000, which is the number Penn State gave us. And, of course, there were 8 more people, according to Penn State statistics, that attended the season opener against Eastern Michigan than attended the Central Florida game. It sure as heck didn't seem that way, though. So, you know, fans want the experience. They want lower ticket prices, which I think across the nation everybody would love to have that.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, the students are the ones who will show up. I mean, it might take some of them a little longer than others to get in, but Penn State's continuing to try and, hey, if we have the tickets available, students, you can purchase the single game seats for $40. We'll try and put you near the student section as close as possible and try and fill some of those other seats that are on the outskirts.
Yeah, that's actually, I think, it's been a positive. More students getting in there. And the students have shown up in droves, Audrey. I see nothing. I see no holes in that pocket over there. It looks like they're wedged in pretty good there.
Oh, certainly. And I had a chance to speak with Athletic Director Dave Joyner about that earlier this week as well. And he said, hey, we're all about getting more students into this game.
Yeah.
The more we can get in, the better. If we have the tickets, we're going to try and push them to our students first and try and fill the stadium that way.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. Now, from when you've gone through and talked to people, have they, you know, do they know the various ways they can save money? For example, like it's like going online and getting a $10 parking space as opposed to a $40. Have they talked about the hotel rates in the area and things like that? Were those some of the things that they talked about? You know, the double booking on hotels and so forth.
Certainly, I mean those are the factors. You know, when you look at it, and the hotels around here require a 2-night minimum for game weekends, makes it, you know, the average that I've kind of come up with is approximately $1,000 for a family of four to attend a Penn State game for the weekend, including tickets, hotel, food, you know, travel to and from if you're within a reasonable driving distance, you know, kind of ballparking around $1,000.
Wow.
And so, you know, fans are pretty aware, I was kind of surprised, pretty aware of knowing that, hey, I can save money if I buy the parking beforehand online, and trying to cut costs that way, but
right.
All around, very, very expensive for, you know, your standard family of four to try and have a Penn State experience.
Well, they can save money on food and beverages by showing up at the Bowler tailgate. I mean, he's fully stocked, Audrey, just so you know. I just want you to know that.
I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
Yes, we gave you the wrong number. All right, so... That way we had more food and beverages for everybody else. No, you'd have liked it because Glenn Mason and Matt Devlin stopped by. We had a great time talking about a variety of things after the game. Anything surprise you in this so far, Audrey?
With relation to tickets?
I'm sure you went in with a couple of preconceived notions. I think anybody's with, well, you know, gee, I wouldn't be surprised if I found X. Is there something you found out that surprised you?
Yes, and the one thing that surprises me, and there have been grumbles about it before, and of course, you know, Penn State always says they'll reevaluate, but the STEP program isn't changing. And I think that's what people need to kind of get in their minds. I know in the most ideal situation, they'd love to see a change, but look around college football. Penn State was one of the last programs to go to a seat licensing fee. I mean, you can call it a seat donation, but it's a seat licensing fee. You're paying for your seat for a season ticket, and that's not going to change. Prices might fluctuate a little bit, but if you're expecting to see a big drop in prices, that's not going to happen. So, you know, Penn State, they're going to try more creative ways of selling tickets. We saw the ticket bundling this year with Eastern Michigan and Michigan, as well as Kent State and Nebraska, to try and sell some of those non-conference games. And that's something else that also looks like it's going to stick. Now, Dave Joyner said they might make some changes to as far as the ticket bundling process, but that's still going to be in play in the future too. So kind of two changes that aren't really going anywhere. I thought maybe they'd go to a dynamic pricing model, which a lot of schools do. And for that, it's, you know, if there's a marquee game, expect to pay a lot more. You can maybe pay twice as much face value for a marquee game as you would. However, for a non-conference game, you're going to pay significantly less. Penn State has no interest in going to a dynamic pricing model. So fans, I know, have kind of talked about that possibility before, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Have they talked about stadium atmosphere and so forth in your conversations?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's another big thing that I'm trying to kind of get to the bottom of here. You know, you see the pump-up video before the game, and then it seems to me that the music is kind of blaring. Sometimes you're thinking, like, man, like, why right now on this third down is the music blasting? And you see how Penn State's trying to let fans and students vote online for what they want the blue band to play. And
right.
They're really trying to create this atmosphere and keep it going. And I think that's one thing where Penn State's starting to drop off a little bit. And they need to figure out ways to try and make make that game day experience what it was a few years ago when you were, you know, when you were still selling out.
Right. There's still a balance. A lot of people have talked about, talked to me about, boy, they love the Blue Band. Is that something that you're finding that they're saying to you or not, in terms of like hearing more of them and less of canned music?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think people want more of the band and less of the music that they're pumping in and blasting. And I mean, you're going to have this anywhere when you look at
sure.
demographics and as far as, you know, the different ages in the stadium. So I think the Blue Band can kind of help decrease the differences there, because, you know, they can play some pop songs if that's what your students want to hear, but they're going to play the traditional stuff too, which will please the older crowd, mm-hmm. where right now you're just getting a lot of pumped-in noise, quite frankly, during the game, and I think that might be taken away from the experience a bit.
In that area, any surprises when you talk to atmosphere with people?
No, they were pretty much kind of, I was expecting them to say, you know, they want it to be upped a little bit more as far as a better atmosphere, kind of taking it back to what it was a few years ago. People were pretty much on par with what I was thinking there.
Yeah. Audrey, this sounds fascinating. When does this come out?
Actually, the first part will come out tomorrow. We're running it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so we'll have all kind of interactive polls and comment streams mm-hmm. going on penlive.com. So we'll be pushing the first part live tomorrow morning, and I will be still collecting and gathering data and comments throughout the week, and looking forward to really interacting with a lot of readers and trying to get a better, even better feel for what's going on here, because there definitely is, you know, there's an attendance problem, but it's not just a Penn State problem.
All right. Well, it sounds like you received a lot of cooperation across the board, including from the administration, which certainly helps give you perspective on the article, correct?
Yeah. So actually, I got David Joyner after the press conference that they had in conjunction with making the Ireland announcement
right.
at Beaver Stadium. So, yes, it was nice to be able to get some takes on that. And I'm still looking for more Penn State officials to talk to. So if they're out there listening, I'd love to connect.
Yeah, and by the way, all the parts where they complain about the radio network and so forth, if you could strike that from the article, that'd be great. Audrey, thanks so much. I appreciate the time you gave us. Look forward to following up on this, because it sounds like it's absolutely fascinating.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Audrey Snyder, Patriot News, Harrisburg. We'll come back, talk about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Buddy, that story. Welcome back, guys.
Oh, boy.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us. It's an interesting article. Penn State is one of the last to go to the STEP program. And maybe have been instituted about the same time as Ohio State, Michigan, and things like that. You know, but they're one of the last to go to it. They actually are financially doing better with it because they did institute it. But it's interesting that she's doing this article. Stadium atmosphere is important, no question about that. I know maybe they should be miking the Blue Band and having them be a more active participant in the game. Fans seem to enjoy the Blue Band a lot. It's hard for me to judge stadium atmosphere. It really is. And the reason it's hard for me to judge stadium atmosphere is that I have headphones on and I'm talking at the same time. So I can gauge the reaction of fans, and the fans Saturday were unbelievable. I mean, Bob, you were there.
It was an impressive atmosphere, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was great. Now, what they do with the music, the PA, I can tell you for the Eastern Michigan game, all that was too loud. Because if I'm trying to do the game and it's like blaring through, where I'm looking over saying, will you shut up?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like that. But they had it toned. That was toned down for this game to the point where I didn't even notice it. You know, and again, I have headphones on, so I can't really tell. And plus, Jack and I are doing the broadcast. I can't tell some things that fans will have a much better gauge of telling me what things are and are not like in the stadium.
So what you're saying is if I did this in the middle of the show, it would probably be a bad idea because you wouldn't be able to hear anything, right?
I can't really hear it to begin with. Yeah. I mean, I can hear it unless it's ultra loud. And when it was so loud for Eastern Michigan, where people in Bellefonte felt like they were following the game along, that's a little loud. But this week it seemed like it was at a much better tone, because it wasn't one of those things where I'm trying to talk to Jack in the broadcast and you know, it's loud enough where you feel like you're trying to shout over it on a broadcast. This week was not like that. Now, are they playing at the appropriate times? Are they talking at the appropriate times? Are they utilizing the blue band? Those are things the fans have to call up and tell me about at 800-795-9565. Because that's something I can't gauge. You have to be my gauge on that, because you're the ones living it.